Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
George Raveling now works for Nike. George Raveling has put together an incredibly distinguished career in basketball. Played hoops at Villanova, assistant coach there, head coach at Washington State, NCAA tournament, went head coach at Iowa, USC. They had a good coaching career, and he took all three teams to the NCAA tournament. Well, as you know, the Big Baller brand, led by Lonzo Ball with LeVar Ball, the father, at the helm of this, they've talked to Nike about $1 billion shoe deal for his three sons. Now, LiAngelo and LaMelo have not played even college ball yet. Lonzo will be in the draft. In a recent interview, Nike co-founder Phil Knight insisted the shoe company is interested in Lonzo Ball, but not for that asking price. Phil Knight said, hey, if you can get it, get it. It's a little steep. He's an awfully great player. Yeah, we have an interest. Then George Raveling chimed in. He said, quote, about LeVar Ball, the father, the worst thing to happen to college basketball in the last 100 years. If you ever met George Raveling, he is not shy about his comments. All right, time now for the play-by-play call of the day. Bryce Harper launches with three on.
Now Tehran sets. Bases loaded the pitch. Swing and a high fly ball to deep center field. Enciarte moving back. Way back on the warning track at the wall. It is gone. Goodbye. Bryce Harper has done it again. Off Julio Tehran for the second straight at bat. And he has hit another grand slam off of Julio Tehran. Home run number 6 for Bryce Harper. Second of the game. 5 runs batted into the game for Bryce Harper. And the Nationals have put a 5 spot on the board here at the top of the second inning.
And Charlie Slows, who always does a great job on WJFK, the flagship home of the Washington Nationals. Nationals beat the Braves last night 14-4. Based on the crowd reaction, I'm going to sense that was in Cobb County last night at SunTrust Field. All right, let's bring in head basketball coach of the Nittany Lions. That is Patrick Chambers. Great to have him on board. And Coaches versus Cancer coming up, including a reception tonight.
That really makes a difference, you know. Work well without those sponsorships and that type of support from the local, you know, local businesses. It means everything to thriving and keep this thing going. And, you know, I could share at least 4 or 5 stories right now from the last 24 hours of loved ones that we've lost or loved ones that are now battling. Right. And, you know, unfortunately, it's a great reminder that we got to keep fighting and keep pushing for a cure.
And now between $2 and $3 million locally has been raised through the Coaches versus Cancer efforts here, which really is a great statement about a community this size.
The generosity. We always say it's about the people, right, Steve?
Yeah.
It's not about the buildings. It's about the people right. Who are in this community. Again, their generosity and what they're doing. If it's not their finances, it's their time. They're volunteering. They're being a part of Coaches versus Cancer or whatever cause they're fighting in. in this region. Met a lot of good people too through Coaches versus Cancer, and I'm proud to be a part of it.
Get back to that in just a few moments. Talk some basketball here. The one recruit you can talk about is Trent Buttrick, who has signed.
Yeah.
6'8", originally out of Bloomsburg, now through Florida. Is he a stretch four? What can he? What is his skill set that can fit what you want to do?
6'8", 226, Big Ten body, ready. You know, that's not one of these situations where we got to put the weight on him.
Right. See, that's where Lamar Stevens came in last year.
Big Ten body ready. And this kid can really pick and pop. He can stretch the floor. He shot the ball really well from three. He's a great rebounder. He's extremely tough. He's one of seven. So that helps.
Right.
That's a military guy.
That's right.
So he's got the discipline part, the toughness part, the body part. He fills a need. Mm. We need a stretch four. We need somebody who can knock down some threes for us. And then we also need somebody who's going to rebound the basketball. We are 14 out of 14 in the Big Ten. And you know me well over these past 6 years. That's not our MO. MO is defending and rebounding and trying to be in the top six or seven. And we were 9-9-14. Defensive field goal percentage, three-point defensive field goal percentage, and rebounding. Don't get me wrong. Happy about the offense. Scored over 70 points 21 times. Heading the right direction.
Right.
All that good stuff. However, defense and rebounding could have definitely flipped some of those games that were close. And I think Trent could be that one of those guys that really relieves Lamar, where he's not playing 37, 38 minutes a game, and he needs that, you know, that rest time. And when he got in foul trouble, it hurt us.
Yeah.
When he got in foul trouble, it really hurt us.
I'm going to get to that in a moment. I'm about to say something that I've said to you and Dick said to you.
Yeah.
That your foundation is set, but you need pieces to swing three games your way.
No doubt.
Is that about where you are?
It's fair to say, and this is how I would say that. Now, if we made a couple more free throws, if we got a stop,
all right,
if we rebounded, well, right, maybe we don't need those pieces.
Right. But these are complementary parts, not an overhaul.
There's the core. The kitchen sinks in.
Yeah.
Now we need some running water.
Yeah.
We need some running water. So I just think to complement the skill set that we already have,
right,
and the depth that we need. And we want to bring in winners. We want to bring in guys that have won at every level and that love the game, that want to compete, that are tough and physical, mm-hmm, and have a little nasty streak in them.
Right.
Because that's what the Big Ten is. You know, every position, look, six games, we got it all. But you could say that about a lot of other teams, too.
That's right.
In the Big Ten. It's kind of like the NFL. I mean, if you go through the NFL stats, which I know you know the NFL well, or the Big Ten in football, it's a possession game.
Oh.
It's 3 points. It's mm-hmm, 6 points, whatever. So it's the same thing in Big Ten basketball. 2 years ago, it swayed our way. This year, it didn't sway our way.
Right.
And you hope, you know, we can add the right pieces. And I think Trent is a critical piece to that depth up front. And now you're going to add Satchel Pierce.
Yeah.
6'10", 265.
Basketball IQ.
I absolutely love him.
I think he sees the floor and understands the players around him and what they can do. And then he makes sure that he puts them in the right spot.
No question. And what I give the fans out there, I would say Reggie Lynch for Minnesota, mm-hmm, very similar body type. Reggie probably is going to block more shots.
Mm-hmm.
Satchel's more skilled.
Yes, he is.
Really soft hands, yeah, nice feet, good stuff in the paint, can shoot it out to about 10 to 12 feet.
Yeah, Reggie Lynch is raw offensively.
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 I'm talking body-wise,
right.
Yes. And he's he can make free throws. And he's going to rebound. And mm-hmm, he's going to rebound.
Right.
The thing I love about him, you just said it, his IQ, but he's a willing screener.
Yeah.
And he's all four of us together. He's a big human being.
Well, I mean, that's what when Penn State in 96, they rose as high as eighth in the polls. Phil Williams was not a scorer, but he screened.
Yeah. I mean, you need great screeners. You know what you said it earlier. You need guys that are willing to screen.
Yes. You've got to
sacrifice something of your game to win.
Yeah.
And what are we going to sacrifice to win? Is it points? Is it playing time? What's it going to be to enable that we turn those six into wins?
There's another part, too. I think there's always a perception that youth shows up at the end of games, and that's not true. Youth shows up in other ways. In the first half of games this season, nine times, and I'm talking about the Big Ten season,
mm-hmm.
nine times Mike Watkins had two fouls in the first half. You were 2-7 in those games.
Yeah.
Josh Reeves, nine times. You were 1-8.
Yep.
And 1-6 with the seven times Lamar Stevens did it.
Yep.
And if two of the three did it, you were 0-7.
Yeah.
Which means if it didn't happen, if two of the three were not, you were over 500 in conference play. Right?
Yeah, great statistics.
Right. All right. Yep. So now, is that a product of growing up, in your opinion, or is there something that you as a coach can coach out of them to keep them on the floor?
It's probably a combination of both. We can do a better job as coaches to put them in the right positions or have the right defenses out there depending on the personnel of the opponent. And then it's also their job to be in stances, ready to rotate, and playing as hard as you can. And we always say if you're not in a stance and you're conserving energy, most likely you're going to get yourself in foul trouble.
Well, Mike sometimes got himself in foul trouble rotating over to cover up somebody else.
Well,
and that's an effort thing.
And Mike's – and again, Mike did some great things. He was still learning how to play ball screens.
That's right.
He was trying to dominate the paint by blocking a ton of shots, which he did in that Nebraska game. Mm-hmm. I believe he had 8 blocks.
He had 8.
So he did some great things. But there was other things that maybe the fan didn't know. Why isn't Mike getting in this situation? Where's Mike – well, he was still very young, still very raw in our defensive concepts.
It's only his third season playing and his fourth in the game. I mean, what?
But it was his first year in the Big Ten.
Right. I mean, he sat out.
Do you think he's ever played in front of 17,000 people?
No, I don't think so. That's why I talk about the blue-white game coming up on Saturday. They said, what's the value of it? I said, well, take a guy like Lamont Wade. Accolades all over the place. He didn't play before 75,000 people combined in his career.
We're going to get 80. We're going to get 80 on Saturday.
But he didn't do that combined in his career.
Yeah.
And Mike's the same way. Mike, your blue-white scrimmage was the biggest crowd he ever played at that point.
You're exactly right. So, how he got in foul trouble was some silly stuff, not staying down, trying to block shots, not being in a stance, rotations not proper, ball screen defense opening up. Just very simple, but the good news is correctable, fixable.
Right.
Fixable mistakes because he played hard.
Right.
He played hard.
But some of this happened in the last month.
Yeah.
And this goes back to what you just said. Hey, Josh Reeves has been through it once, but he got sick in the middle of it last year. Okay?
Yeah, he's never played a full season.
Full season.
Yeah.
Okay. Lamar had never done it before. Mike had never done it before.
Tony Carr's never done it before.
Did fatigue enter in because they had practiced longer and played longer than at any point in their lives against better competition?
Yeah. And again, as a coach, you want to manage their bodies and their minds to the best of your ability. I think Tony said it best. He's like, the Big Ten is physically grueling, but mentally it really wears you down. It really affects you. And I think it was more mental than anything. We knew we had to win some games down the stretch, and they were trying as hard as they could. And you could tell they were squeezing the air out of the ball a little bit because they wanted to win so badly. And that wears you down. And no question, the free throw shooting, we were shooting beautifully in the non-conference.
Right.
And if you look at the last 30 days, our free throw shooting really went down.
Legs.
And especially in the last 4 minutes of a game.
I know. I had the number.
It was not great. It was in the 60s, if I'm correct. Mm-hmm. So I would say mentally number one for sure.
Yep.
Number two, that would be a little bit physical because we were, Julian was beat up. Julian was injured.
Well, he shouldn't have been really.
He got the kid credit. He that was a gutsy last 4 or 5 games for him.
In the past, you've had, for the most part, the veterans come in for the second six-week session. They're going to be here for both. What does that mean to you that they've all committed to do that in combination with a foreign trip?
So the real important session, Steve, this year is going to be that first one for me. Because if some guys do want to go home, I'm going to allow them to go home summer session too. But for the most part, most of them are staying.
Mm.
They got a taste of what it is now to play in the Big Ten, to play on this level. They want more. They want to continue to get better. They're not satisfied, which is awesome for a coach. I look down and sometimes out through that window of the video room and I see guys down there shooting. I'm like, wow, this is exactly what we wanted and this is exactly what we built. Guys that love to play the game. So summer session one is going to be huge. We'll probably have a couple practices in there.
Yeah.
Because we're allowed to have 10 practices before our foreign tour.
Right.
So do a couple maybe mid to late June there, and then bring them back a week early and, you know, finish those 10 practices and then head on a foreign tour in August. And all right, why do you want that? Well, it's a great experience. It's going to be connectivity, though. Mm-hmm. It's all about that locker room, right, being connected, creating that chemistry. Because, you know, I thought the strategy was good, but maybe we could have been a little bit more connected in certain areas. So that's going to be the most important thing this summer, is player development and getting this team connected, just reinforcing that culture that we've always talked about.
And when you go someplace overseas, for example, like that, they don't know anybody, so they have to rely on each other. Does that play into this?
And I'm hoping their phones don't work. Wouldn't that be nice?
The other Friday.
See, we could sit down and talk for hours.
Yes, we could.
Right? I'm not so sure. I'm not just saying it's the players. I'm just saying if you go across campus right now, there's kids almost walking into my car.
Right,
they're looking at their phone.
Friday night, football team scrimmaging in here. Jack Hammond and I are watching the scrimmage. He looks over at me and he says, "Hey, Steve, by the way, what time?" He had to go back to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
He says, "Steve, by the way, what time do you have?" I said, "Nah, I don't know. I don't have my phone with me." He goes, "Oh, my goodness." He says, "I don't have mine either." What are the odds? The two guys.
It's awesome.
And then he says, "This is great.
This is awesome." You felt so free. I'm telling you, I go into meetings now and I don't bring my phone. I don't bring it.
No, I don't.
I'm not doing it. I don't bring my phone because I want to be completely dialed in to what we're discussing.
I mean, this is here now, and the reason it's here now is because I have to time to a segment. That's the only reason. I just look at it to make sure, okay, where are we time-wise?
You're gong showing me. You're looking at the time like, we got to hook this guy. We got to get him off.
Hey, it says you.
What was that guy's name? Barry or something? Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Gong show, you remember?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, different demographic.
Chuck M. Barris.
There you go.
Chuck Barris, who just passed away in the last 6 months.
Yes, he did. Yes,
right.
He did.
Gene, the dancing machine.
See what I do for you. I bring something a little different to the show today. There's people out there going, who is he talking about?
You scheduled to the tune of the 18th ranked schedule in the country, and you don't get there unless you have a non-con that does it. You played St. John's in the Garden, beat them. You beat Georgia Tech here, which I think people forget. And then
GW at GW.
GW at GW. You're not quite there yet, but certain parts have been put out there, including the Barclays tournament. Is that going to be the same philosophy or
last year?
Yeah.
Look, was I happy with 8-5? Absolutely not. No, I wasn't. However, it did prepare us to compete. You know, a lot of those close games, we competed.
All right.
And I felt like going into every game, we were ready to go. We're going to win.
Well, when you're
thinking win every game.
When you went into the Big Ten, they didn't see a discernible difference from what they were playing.
No, they weren't deer in headlights. They weren't. You know, it wasn't like there was fear in their eyes. Not at all. They were prepared. It's going to be very similar. We're going to have an ACC challenge, which we don't know who the opponent's going to be, but we're going to have that for sure.
Yeah.
We're going to have those two high major games at the Barclays in Brooklyn. Please come out, Penn Staters. Love to have you. Actually, I'm in New York, the Big Ten tournament is in Madison Square Garden next year. And that's why I set up two games over the past few years to make sure we at least got in there, solid, you know. And so we have a little bit of an advantage. I'd like to get in there this year, but we couldn't.
Right.
But a lot of home and homes still from last year, similar teams from last year that we'll be playing. I can't really mention some of them. But, you know, Atlantic 10 teams, you can figure it out.
I already know.
You know, but I'm talking about the fans out there. So it's going to be a very similar schedule. It's going to be very difficult, but that's what we want. That's what I want. I'm not all about let's get 20. It's not about getting 20. It's about getting better.
Right.
And if we can continue to get better and then be prepared for the Big Ten, we'll give ourselves a chance. Regardless of what anybody says, we gave ourselves a chance. With the last six games of the season, we gave ourselves a chance. If you go 4-6, 3-6, even 2-6,
right.
I'll say this too, and it's driving me crazy. It keeps me up at night. We were 8 possessions away from the NCAA tournament. We were 2 possessions away from the NIT. Let that marinate for a second.
Yeah.
Let that seep in for a second, because that's what I have to live with on a nightly basis.
Well, because I asked you the question. It was either the pregame show on the talk show They all run together.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, you used to be 3 to 4 possessions away at a game, which is tight. I said, now you're 1. Johns, they beat Michigan State. They beat Minnesota. They beat Illinois twice.
They beat Maryland.
Maryland. I mean you didn't exactly go out and beat a Canisius.
Yeah. No, we beat some good teams.
Yeah.
But know this. We're not satisfied. We know these experiences, especially the experiences of failure. Failure will mold you and help you and make you that much more tougher. So these experiences from this year, I believe flip next year. I believe we're going to get better. I really do. I believe it with all my heart because I see these kids in there working. I see what they're doing. I see what we're capable of. I see the chemistry that's going on in the locker room. I mean, we're excited to get this thing going. But, again, let's go through this summer and this process and this foreign tour.
But this is the time when leadership shows up. Leadership shows up to me more in the offseason than it does during the season.
No doubt. No doubt about it.
So when you look at your core group, do you see the makings of leadership?
I got 3 right now that I'm really excited about that are doing a fabulous job with our culture. Communications on point, all the details of what you want in a program, believing in our pillars of excellence. It's just been fabulous. Josh Reeves really has emerged, really emerged, which has been really exciting for me.
He's been the heart and soul of really what you wanted.
All year, but now he's stepping it up and more vocal, where he has a tendency to be a little bit quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's more vocal.
Yeah.
Off the floor. On the court, he'll talk. Off the floor, you know, that's where I'm really seeing a difference. And in the weight room. Then I would tell you, Shep Garner, totally figured it out. Like, you know what? What happened last year, I'm going to learn from. I got to be a better leader. I got to walk the walk, all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. And he's doing that. Tony Carr has really stepped up since the Rutgers game. He has really embraced the role.
I thought you naming him a captain was one of the smarter things I've seen because, he's your point guard moving forward.
Yeah, and we got to be an extension of one another. We got to be on the same page. And tuck your shirt in. No jewelry. You might think, what's the big deal with that?
Oh, that's big.
It means everything. And he's communicating, like, we're just doing skill development right now, but he's communicating as if we're in a full team practice.
Yeah, but if you're in this, you've been in this for a while. I've been in this since 1920.
Yeah.
Yeah. I go back to Burke Herman.
I was going to say, you go way back. Pre-Reckle, right. Or was it always Reckle?
Always Reckle.
Was it real? Okay, I'm just making sure.
I didn't do any games at the Armory. But if you do take care of the little things, big things then do take care of themselves.
No,
and that
question.
Means tuck your shirt into. You're like, what's the purpose of that? That's a little thing that must be taken care of. It's
what we do. And during a game, guess what the ref's going to say?
Yeah, tuck your shirt in.
So why not already have it tucked in so he doesn't have to say anything to you?
Right.
Not like we're disrespecting them.
These are not little details. Okay?
No, they're big.
Okay, they all add up to big things. And I think unless you're around a team, you don't understand that. Yeah, I know you got to get going.
Buddy, it was great seeing you.
Great seeing you.
I'll be around this weekend. So. Yeah.
Good.
Maybe I'll stop up to the booth and
stop
say hello
up.
To you.
Please stop up.
To you two handsome guys.
Well, hang in there. I'll see you tonight at Center Hills.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for that. Yeah, I'll see you guys.
No problem.
Thanks for having me.
That is Patrick Chambers joining us here in the Sunbury Motors studio. I think we covered a lot of ground there. A lot of ground. And I think in the end, I think he bought some digital media, too. We'll come back with more in a moment. What? Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hey, guess what day it is?
Tuesday.
No, it's Hyundai. Remember? Hyundai.
Who are these guys?
Just listen. It's a Hyundai spring cleaning sales event going on right now at Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Hyundai. You're getting the lowest prices of the year without all the gimmicks or the fine print. Today, Hyundai. Save over $8,500 on a new 2017 Hyundai Sonata Limited. Or save over $4,700 on a new 2017 Hyundai Elantra Limited. Save over $42.50 on a new Tucson Ultimate Limited. Over 80 new Hyundais available with big value with America's best warranty. 10 years, 100,000 miles. This sale is only for a limited time, so get your Hyundai today. Only at your home for Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and online at sunburyhyundai.com, where today is Hyundai. Tax and tax extra, all rebates to dealer. Shop early for best selection. See dealer for complete details.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
I'm glad to hear that Lawrence is going to have a blast. I like that. I mean, because the company parties that I've been invited to where I actually could make it once every 3 years. Lawrence loosens up and he's a riot. Love it. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, KIA Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right, time now for our sports bozo of the day. And sports bozo of the day actually deals with the base breakdown of last night's Oklahoma City-Houston Rockets game. I'm listening to sportscasts today. Russell Westbrook had a triple-double last night with 51 points of blah, 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 blah. Okay. Now, number one, they lost. Let's start with that. Oklahoma City lost. And number two, 51 points on 43 shots is not awe-inspiring. If you really know the game, right, 51 points sounds great, but if you do it on 43 shots, you have not had a good game. The gold standard is you need to really average 1.5 points a shot. You've had a great night if you're doing that. 1.5 points a shot. So let's take a look at 43 shots. I mean, that would mean that he would have had to have had last night 65 points. 65, 66 points last night. To get to that range, he had 51 on 43 shots. He was 4 of 18 in the fourth quarter where they needed him to really... And they had the lead.
You would think if he would have sunk maybe three more of those shots or four, they'd had a shot to win.
Yeah, but again, they had the lead. Okay, the bench gave up the lead, whatever. He comes back in, can't save him. But I'm listening to the coverage of this, and I'm thinking, what in the heck is this? I mean, do you know the game at all? 51 points on the surface is great. But 51 points on 43 shots is not.
I wonder if it's going to be next year or maybe the year after that, if this continues on the team, where I just think too much is being asked for Russell Westbrook. I mean, you think they're going to have to maybe get one or two more guys in there to help support him, but I would think there's probably nothing that satisfies him than going down the lane and just draining the shot. You keep doing that, well, you know what I'm saying? I'm kind of thinking of a Lakers Kobe Bryant mentality here if it keeps going for another two or three seasons, and will the fans get tired of it too if they don't get far in the playoffs?
Well, they're on the verge. I mean, they're down 2-0.
Well, you can definitely see that Houston's the much better team.
Yeah, they have, you know, they have a couple of extra players, and no question, like for example, Beverly last night knocked down a big shot in the corner. He's a good player.
I mean, granted, we don't talk too much NBA on here, but it has been interesting. It has been interesting the past couple of weeks, just, you know, hearing people that have an MVP vote. No, why are you voting for Russell Westbrook? Why are you voting for James Harden? You're voting for James Harden. Why are you not voting for Russell Westbrook?
I mean, the MVP vote, as you know, has become so irrelevant in today's sports. It's about who wins more than anything else. But I go back to what I was talking about the other day. We have, first of all, when I talk about A-minus stars, they're still an A, okay? They're just an A-minus. But I think they try, and ESPN is as at fault of this as much as anybody. I think ESPN wants so much to feel like they're covering the best of all time of something. You know, and obviously, I don't go back to, you know, in baseball. I mean, you know, Babe Ruth was dead 10 years before I was born, for goodness sakes. So I didn't see Ruth. So whatever Ruth and Cobb and people like that did happen to be a myth. But, you know, I've been around long enough now where I saw Aaron play. I saw Mays play. I saw Mantle play. And then all the way through, whether it was Ripken to Rodriguez to Jeter to Ortiz to Yastrzemski to, you know, the same thing in hockey. I mean, look, I saw Howe and Hull and Orr all in their prime, to go with the prime of Gretzky and Lemieux, and up to the point where you have guys like Sidney Crosby today. You know, same thing in the NBA. I saw Russell and Chamberlain play, and Oscar Robertson. Right? I saw them play. They're not a myth to me. Jerry West is not a myth to me. I mean, I saw Elgin Baylor play. All the way through Bird and Magic and Kareem and the Bad Boys and so forth. And same thing in the NFL. I saw Unitas and Star play. I've been alive for all 51 Super Bowls. Remember watching the first one. So when they talk about, you know, the greatest of all time and this, that, and the other thing, I'll give you an example. To me, saying that there's someone who is the greatest of all time is obviously just an opinion. But if you've at least seen a wider spectrum of player, so I usually now look at, because the pool gets bigger all the time. LeBron James, for example, the modern fan may say he's the greatest player I've ever seen. And I don't blame you for saying that. I don't blame you for saying that at all. He is definitely an A star, no doubt. And in my lifetime, I've never seen anyone of that body type that can do what he does. And he has excellent basketball sense. Do I think, in my opinion, he's the greatest player of all time? No, I don't. But I think he's among the 20 greatest players of all time. Okay? You know, I mean, where you can lump him in with that group, where you can lump him in with Chamberlain and Russell and Havlicek and Shaq and Bird and Magic. You know, you can go, you know, and obviously Jordan and Pippen and players like that. You can lump him into that group of 20. He fits into that group of 20. I think Sidney Crosby fits in with that group of 20 in today's game. Alex Ovechkin does not. And again, Harden and Westbrook do not. Harden and Westbrook, to me, are the A-minus types that are made a huge deal of, but would they have started for the 86 Celtics or the 87 Lakers? I mean, really? Would they have? I mean, seriously. No. Did it come off the bench? Did it come off the bench? I mean, who are they going to replace? I mean, is Russell Westbrook going to replace Dennis Johnson? Dennis Johnson's in the Hall of Fame. You know, Dennis Johnson hit so many big shots in his career, big shots, and was a great defensive player. Russell Westbrook is a terrible defensive player. He's horrible. Offensively, he does marvelous things. Defensively, woo. The only reason he plays defense is the rule state you have to in between shots. I mean, hockey? Crosby's definitely among the 20 best I've seen. I mean, I've Hull and Orr and Howe and Gretzky and Messier and Lemieux and, I mean, a guy like Mike Bossy, for example. Dennis Potvin, Paul Coffey. Now, Brady is obviously among the best ever. I mean, I'd have to really debate in my own mind between Brady and Joe Montana as to which one I'd want to win the game for me. I really would have to debate that. The game was different when Unitas and Starr played. They did call their own plays, but passing efficiency was not what it is today. And you look at Unitas' numbers, you know, Unitas was not a 60% passer, neither was Bart Starr. But the game was different then. Yeah, you go Staubach. Tell you right now, big Giants fan, but I had so much respect for Staubach as a quarterback. Man. And Bradshaw. And you can't win 4 Super Bowls unless you've done what he's done. But, you know, but then after that, you've got some, you know, Aaron Rodgers is great and so forth, and Breeze and guys like that. And then you've got the A-minus guys. Like, Matt Ryan's like an A-minus guy. Nothing wrong with being an A-minus guy. That means you're really, really good. And there's nobody that builds him up to be among the best of all time. So let's be fair there. Now, Westbrook and Harden, I think ESPN goes way over the top. He's an A-minus guy. Ovechkin's an A-minus guy. In baseball, Trout is a great player, but Trout has never, he's only had one opportunity to do it on the big stage. And then, even then, he didn't have a great playoff, but it's just such a limited sample size. I mean, I want to see, especially with expanded playoffs today, I want to see more out of Trout. In that moment, in that stage where every pitch has such meaning, how does he handle it? And I can't sit there and go, well, you know, he's a great, great talent, but I want to see that great, great talent in October, which then tells me that he can carry the water. In other words, if you gave me a choice, I'll give you an example. Brooks Robinson or Mike Trout, second and third, two outs, bottom of the ninth inning. Which one do I ask to get a bat? I'd ask Brooks Robinson to get the bat. Why? Because he's proven to be in his career that in that moment in the postseason, he locks in and delivers. I don't know what Mike Trout can do in that spot. I have no idea. Because believe me, hitting in that spot in October is different than hitting in that spot in July. And not putting Mike Trout down, he just doesn't have the sample size for me to say that. Now, Bryce Harper does. And you know what? I think Bryce Harper is a really good postseason performer. Really good. Really good postseason performer. And the problem for Trout is this. He does not have a great sample size, yet there are more teams in the playoffs than ever before. And that's what's baffling about him. It's like, you know, we've talked about Kershaw. Oh, Kershaw is one of the greatest ever. Well, Kershaw is sort of one of the greatest ever, but no. I mean, again, I've seen other pitchers that have, I mean, if you get the Game 7 of the World Series, all right, do you want to give the ball to Clayton Kershaw or Bob Gibson? I mean, that isn't even a discussion in my mind. That isn't even a discussion. Bob Gibson gets the ball. Why? He's pitched it. And not only that, has been great at it. I mean, I'm just giving you examples here. But he's not in the Hall of Fame, but if I had Game 7, I had a choice between Clayton Kershaw and Jack Morris, I'd get the ball to Jack Morris. Why? Jack Morris has proven in postseason play, he locks in and pitches. And I'm not just talking about the Game 7 again, you know, that he pitched for the Twins. I'm not talking about that. I mean, he did it with the Tigers as well. I mean, he was a good postseason pitcher.
I remember that 1991 going 10 straight innings. I remember hearing Vin Scully call the game on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, these are people that have proven track records versus people that don't but are being labeled among the greatest ever because they've been able to put up some numbers. I want to be able to see a full sample size. out of them to really get a feel as to whether they are or they aren't. And what's the big flaw for Andrew McCutchen? McCutchen's not playing well now. But whenever McCutchen's been to the postseason, he hasn't done anything. I mean, like, he literally has not done anything. You give me a choice. In today's game, if you gave me a choice between Kyle Schwarber, second and third, two outs, bottom of the ninth, down a run, if you gave me a choice between McCutchen or Schwarber, who would you pick? I'd pick Schwarber. Because at least in this sample size of a couple of years, Schwarber has proven that playing in October is no big deal to him. Sample size for McCutchen says it is a big deal to him. The way it is. Wrap it up in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. James Franklin, a little bit more than an hour from now on the Penn State Coaches Show, featuring James Franklin, our special edition tonight from 6.05 to 7 at Letterman's. He asked the media after a practice last night to volunteer to go out and catch punts. Look, you can't take yourself that seriously in life. Have fun, go out and do it. You're saying, well, you're safe, you're up in the booth, right? Well, you don't go to practice like I go to practice. I have been asked to catch a punt. So, and I would like to point out, I had it and I dropped it. So, just so you know, in full disclosure, had it and dropped it. I had it. Brent Pry walked past me last night. He goes, I hope they're not having you catch punts again. I said, no, I think they're going to put me in the booth where I belong. 59 years old, never tried to catch a punt in my life. And Danny Pascarillo, he did a nose-down punt, which is exponentially easier to catch than a twisting punt. It's end-over-end. It's like a kickoff. I mean, he couldn't have lollipopped it to me any better. And I had it. And I dropped it.
I was going to say, you got to be careful. You don't want to, you know, stove a finger and get on the DL when golf season really kicks in.
Hey, he asked me to go out and do it. I said, I'll go out and do it. So I went out and did it. What the heck? And you're like, well, there aren't that many people at practice. It turned out that this was the faculty staff day at practice that day. There are a few people there and donors. There are a lot of donors there that day. They now know why their play-by-play guys in the booth and not fielding punts. But I hope some of the media members do it. The heck, check the pride at the door. Have fun with it. Can't take yourself that seriously. I'll be back tomorrow, though, with a serious show. My brother's on tomorrow. We've got Paul Alexander tomorrow, too. Bruce Feldman on Monday.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.